Right now it is time for Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. Time we welcome Thorin Christendotter. Thorin, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Just one of those mornings that's getting out of control here. I don't know if it's that way at your house, but it's that way here. But anyway.
It happens too, right?
It certainly does. Well, with getting out of control, let's get back into control. I'm a person who has lived most of his life. I was too young to remember, but we lived on when I was born in New York. We lived on the west side in a 15-room apartment overlooking the Hudson River. I can only remember the color green, which was the color of my where I was staying as a baby. That's it. But other than that, I've lived in farmhouses, New England farmhouses. I've lived in, when I lived in Kingston, New York, a couple of two-family houses, a stone cottage in Hurley. I've always, though, loved, maybe I'm wrong, the Scandinavian, simple, plain, modern look. I might be saying I've never lived in a house like that. And right now I rent a house, and I have for the past 11 years, which is just a perfect 1,200-foot room house, two bedrooms upstairs, a nice living room and family room combined, which leads into a kitchen, a galley kitchen, which leads into a space which then leads out onto the deck, and a nice bedroom and bathroom downstairs. But I've always, if I ever had the money, wanted to build one of those type of houses. And when I saw, I may be wrong. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm looking at I'm interpreting the picture wrong. I looked at your story, Form, Function, and the Spaces We Occupy, John Alley and the Designer's Life, and I see a picture of some place that I would love to live in right there.
Well, John does love more of the quote unquote modern type of design, even though he has worked, you know, as an architect in every realm of style and design. I've known John, you know, he's my neighbor, you know, with his office. And so I know a little bit about his work, and he's advertised with us. But it wasn't until we had this article about him, I really understood the depths of his philosophy when it comes to architecture. So I, you know, that as we've talked about so many times, that's one of the things that I personally love so much about being able to produce this magazine is learning, you know, about the ins and outs of people and businesses and things. And so learning that about John was very fascinating, because I too love that type of modern design. And being from Iceland, Scandinavian design is definitely in my wheelhouse, and, you know, in my design work, I often, you know, design in that kind of style as well. Yeah. The pictures that we show of his work here, I'm like, oh, I could live there. I'd like to live there.
Well, that's the whole thing. If you read the article, and even you have to think, what would you call your style today? But when you look at the pictures, they're clean lines, they're straight lines, there's no wasted space. And even if in one picture where it's like a family great room, and it's got, you know, vaulted ceilings and everything, there's something about this design which, no matter how big or small the space, size seems to go away.
Right.
You know,
I completely agree. Yeah.
Size seems to go away. And so if you're a person like me that, and I do, I've gotten into ever since the political season, and now I can't stop myself. I watch all these programs on architecture and building. I watch the Home and Garden Network and thing, and I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed at what really good designers and architects can come into can be called into a situation, and they can completely change within the shell of that house or building the atmosphere. It always amazes me how they can do that. I mean, sometimes it takes a lot of money, sometimes it doesn't. But this article, if anybody likes to look at Home and Garden TV, this article's for you, because you'll get a real insight on the architect.
For sure.
So,
and I love, you know, in that picture too, and in a lot of the other, you know, a lot of his other work, I particularly like the use of, and this is also Scandinavian design, of kind of natural materials that warm it up. So it's not a stark white, you know, with sharp lines, but, you know, the use of, in that great room, the wood, the beams, the natural stone fireplace, these things make it warmer as well. And that's very typical of, you know, Scandinavian design. You feel welcomed. You feel, even though it's, you know, there isn't a lot there, furniture and tchotchke-wise, but it just feels at home.
Yeah, it's simple, it's basic, but yet there's something about the design, and it's always, even if it's not wide open, it's always open. And yes, I know, I come from an old farmhouse which was 20 some rooms, 5 bedrooms upstairs, 3 bathrooms upstairs, but nothing was open. I mean, we even had doors that we had a beautiful dining room which was in between the kitchen and a hallway which led you to either go upstairs or to a bar room that we had. But even that had swinging doors. And it was a beautiful dining room, and it was designed close to the kitchen, but nothing was open. So when you were in one room, you were in one room. The rest of the house didn't matter.
Yeah. Have you noticed in most of the shows that you're talking about watching, like I watch DIY Network and, you know, these same type of shows, these house renovation shows, and they are all about taking the walls down, opening up that kitchen, dining room, living room, you know, lounge area. It's all one big open space now. Yeah, and it seems to have been for the last few years.
And my mother must have been ahead of her times, because back in 1969, she built a 3,500-foot log cabin. And she had it designed so when you walked into the kitchen. But then when you stood in the kitchen, you looked from the kitchen, and the house was about 35 feet wide. This portion and went down about 150 feet. You looked straight down. There were no beams in the way. You looked from the kitchen to the dining room to a huge living area with a huge vaulted ceiling, and it had a balcony that would look down from above, and it was she was way ahead of her time. That's all I gotta say, because it was wide open and it was constructed to be wide open, and that was back in, like I said, 1969, 1970. So I guess maybe living in that for a while probably set my pattern for what I wanted to look at.
Now you feel confined.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's even though the house I'm in now, it's small, but it's open. When you sit in the living room, you can look down through the galley kitchen and down through like a little den area and out to the back deck, which is nice because you've got picture windows in the front and picture windows in the back. And guess what? It doesn't seem small.
That's good.
So
letting the outside in.
Yeah. So now we'll move from that to another story, and that is, what caught my eye about this story is about a paragraph in, someone who decided to form a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, breaking boundaries.
Let me find that one real quick here. Oh, yes. So Regina brought this to my attention some time ago, actually when we were planning the 2020 season, you know, and the themes. And so it was actually last January that she told me about this company and how they have, this, you know, if more people were to do this, you know, recycle and employ people who really need a job and to help them further their, not just their career and, you know, economic situation, but housing situation, their education. So this company is really, just it moves you. It makes you, you know, want to purchase their products just because of what they're doing with what they do. And Kelly Lindgard, I hope I pronounced that correct, has really, you know, made a difference in so many people's lives by doing what she does.
Yeah, I just think when somebody, it's like when we start, I remember when Jill and when we started this, and I can remember people saying to us, Does the area really need another radio station? And we said, well, it's not really another radio station. It's going to be a totally different type of radio station. So we formed the 501c3. I mean, it took several years. And now, as it turns out, the other radio stations have left the area.
Yes.
and we're here just chugging along. But I admire somebody that just sees something out there and goes for it. Goes for it. And especially when it's for a cause that doesn't only benefit them, it benefits other people.
That's just incredible. And that's, you know, I think that's also what, you know, we've got in common and we've talked about so many times is about, you know, trying to help our community and being a part of the community and doing the greater good in a way and within our realm, of course. You know, I'm not saying that we're doctors or teachers, but, you know, within our realm of what we're capable of doing and trying to contribute to our community, you know, so I think that to me at least is very appealing about other people and companies and what they do. So, you know, I really take my hat off for Kelly and her whole gang, you know, at what's it called? on Shattered. Sorry, we have a. I just finished laying out an article yesterday for our December issue, and it had an un. The company name was also on something, so I wanted to make sure I wasn't mixing them up.
Well, next time we speak, we'll talk more about design, because you've got another great article in this magazine, because it's about design, but also about art. And we'll talk about art and the pandemic and design next week when we talk. And also, maybe even take a peek into your December issue as well.
Sounds good. I'm finishing that up now, and we hope to have it to the printer this week so that we get it right after Thanksgiving for everyone.
All right. Thorin, we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Marshall.
Take care. That is Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. Of course, you can find them at mainstreetmag.com, mainstreetmag.com on the web.